From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Jockulation with your host, LB Faust. Jockulation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Jockulation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Thankfully, I already got my other shot of whiskey. I made sure to get it all taken care of before the show because I'm prepared like a Boy Scout today, aren't I? Hey, kids, it's LP Faust. It's Jockulation. It's Friday night. You know how it is. The Circle of Intimacy is out here this evening.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So we got a newbie over here. It's R1 Writer. And listen, R1, I've got absolutely no problem with you interacting inside the main chat room. So don't think for a second that I was upset about that. I just wanted to go ahead and... Well, there he goes. Never mind. I love it. You know what the greatest part about this is? Is that you're going to know immediately whether or not you're actually like going to go ahead and enjoy yourself or whatnot. You know how it goes. Wow, man. Been very, very busy week this week. Let's see. I've got some new punk stuff from a band that went ahead and decided to follow me from Brighton, England over on Twitter and got into a conversation with them. Finding out people over in India are actually listening to my freaking podcast, which is kind of interesting. But a lot's been going on. The highlight of the week is I got a brand new chair sitting over here in my studio. Now, it's not like one of those, you know, kind of like office chair sort of things. You know what I'm saying? Like the traditional sort of office chair where it's like bad posture and shit. I actually went out on a limb and spent some money on this shit. It's got a built-in massage machine. So if it sounds like I'm touching myself over here, let me tell you something, man. I love this one. R1's asking, how many more minutes until the show starts? Oh, it sucks that bad. Never mind. I'm out of here. Yeah. Like I said, you'll figure it out in a second. At any rate, so me in my chair. I'm sitting over here in my chair, and man, I'm feeling like freaking Jabba the Hutt over in like Hutt Castle, you know, minus like all the dancing slave girls and the live band and the bounty hunters and like the pet rankers sitting over there. I'm kind of like, oh. Han Solo Chun Wookie. Oh. So yeah, I'm sitting over here with my freaking my Jabba the Hutt chair, and it's absolutely fucking fantastic. I'm all excited and everything. And we've got the bots over here from Theta filling in the room. This is just absolutely fucking fantastic. Oh, we're having a fart jokes. No. We're not there yet. Hold on a second. Got to have a serious moment here. First things first, what I wanted to go ahead and do is I wanted to thank everyone who was on Ron's show, sitting there going ahead and pushing this past Wednesday, letting everybody out there know, hey, man, you got to go check out LP's show. Ron, Nine, you know, Qua, if he was here, but he's busy going ahead and chasing Dorito trucks. You know, and everybody else that went ahead and sat there and push the show, and Normok, who's not here as well, he's probably chasing Dorito trucks too. I just want to say thanks. Believe me, when you're sitting here as an artist creating something and you hear people sitting there enjoying it, sometimes you don't know who those people are. Sometimes you don't know how much they're enjoying it. And every so often when you actually hear and connect, like I did all this week, it's pretty fucking awesome, to be quite honest with you. And it actually was pretty killer. So I'm kind of over sitting here. I'm kind of at a crossroads right here. So I kind of want to throw it to you guys rather than sit here and make the decision myself. I'm in two different places. If you haven't noticed yet, I've actually been editing and putting up past episodes of the show. You can check out all of the stuff. We'll get into that in the promo side of the podcast. But they've been going up over there. I've probably got somewhere around 7 to 10 more episodes that I still have to finish uploading. The other part of it is I'm probably just as close to getting the merch shop finished and actually having the merch, which has been created and is sitting in there ready to go. So I'm going to throw it to you guys, and I'm going to ask you guys, what would you prefer? Do you want more of the past shows? Like, the most recent show that went up is the Semen Cocktail Show, which was an epic show in and of itself, but you know how it is. So there's that, or there's merch. So, yeah, we'll just go ahead and take a poll in the room over here. Let me know what you want, and I will go ahead and direct my energies accordingly. Since it's me and my staff of me, and me over here, putting everything together when we've got some time. So there you go, man. And, you know, I love it. Anarchist is already like, dude, merch! Yeah, you know what? I've been thinking about that, too. It's funny because some of the people that I've had some friends and stuff come over, and they've actually, like, come down into the studio and stuff, and I'm like, hey, let me show what I'm working on. And I show them the shirt, and they're like, I want that! I'm like, I know. Just back off. So we'll get there, man. We'll get there. I like that. Anarchist. One, shows. Two, merch. All right, well, let's get on with the show, all that being said. So one of the greatest things is, as I'm sitting here, it's like I was telling Ron pre-show, shit, I was having a really hard time coming up with some stuff, and then all of a sudden the gods decided they want to fucking laugh this week. So Thursday night, they're like, hey, here's a bunch of shit that we've been storing up, kind of like backed up like I've got constipation, and I just took the Pepto, and it's all going to get blasted all over you in one great big brown shower. I was like, holy fuck, that's fucking awesome. So what have I got going on here? Well, I found out that apparently I'm not just building up some freaking tolerance to booze. It apparently turns out that according to this study that went out, hangovers get easier to deal with as you get older. That's at least what this study claims. So, Ron, when you're trying to go ahead and recover from your Wednesday show, don't worry. As you age, you're actually going to be able to go ahead and have more beers, more vodka, and feel better the next morning. No problem. So according to this article here, as you get older, you may have found hangovers have gone from something you could laugh off with a McDonald's to a three-day event. But an expert study found out that hangover severity declines with age. See, the feedback was collected from 761 people with an age range of 18 to 94 years old. And it says that when participants consume the same amount of alcohol, like booze and shit, older people suffered less the following day. And a decline in pain sensitivity happens as we age, which means that we just get better at dealing with it as we get older. So let's just stop there for a second. I'd like to know, where the fuck do you sign up to get on the list for this shit? Because, dude, I want my part in this, right? They'd probably look at my shit and say, hey, LP, did you say you wanted to come over here and try and drink our booze over here? Is that what you're saying?
How about new?
Yeah, fuck you, man. We'll go broke. Forget it. We're going to go ahead and get somebody else who's just a little bit more, or you know, a little less tolerant, I guess, right, of this sort of stuff. No, you don't lose brain cells, man. Well, you know something, Darcico? Sometimes sacrifices have to be made. You know how it is. So, although the amount of alcohol people consume each week was found to increase with age, generally speaking, we go for more of a little and often approach, spread it out over days. What kind of fucking grammar is that, article? Have you heard of Grammarly? That's okay. We approach it by spreading it out over more days as opposed to one heavy session when we're younger. I like that. Anarchist is like, did they supply the booze? The answer, Anarchist, to that is yes, they did. Are you going to go ahead and get on that study? Well, the answer to that one is, you know, tough shit, man. You know why? You got two things going against you. One, you could probably drink. And two, you're an Aussie. So you know what? It's like an American study and whatever. Exactly. Get that fucking huge bottle out, right? So here I am thinking, right? Something positive to look forward to as I age, along with like early bird lunches and my AARP membership, right? And if you think about it, right, acquiring useful superpowers as you get older is absolutely fucking freaking awesome. Now, like, maybe on top of that, the COVID will go ahead and give me some more useful mutations so I can, like, become an X-Men. You know what I mean? I can deal with, like, Professor Charles Xavier and all that shit. Or maybe I could become him. Just as long as I get, like, useful mutant powers, right? Like, when I was a kid, I was a freaking nerd of reading the X-Men comics. I got a whole bunch of them. And some of the New Mutants and stuff. Let's go ahead and talk about the most useless fucking mutant that they ever created in that fucking universe. Cypher. Right? You have a universe full of people that got superhuman strength. They can fucking tear your body limb from limb. Superhuman power. They could fly. They could go everywhere. What the fuck does Cypher do? Well, I can translate any text. I mean, is that a fucking useful goddamn...
How about new?
Dude, why are you even in the fucking comic books? Right? Why are you in the main story? You should be like, I don't know, a side character, right? It's like when you're playing the game, go on a fucking useful side quest or something and earn some potions or kill somebody. I don't know, you know, but you shouldn't be in like the main fucking story arc. But nevertheless, he was. So as long as I don't go ahead and acquire shit like that, you know what I'm saying? I'm okay. I want something freaking awesome. But although, come to think of it, after discussing the whole useless mutant ability of Cypher, I'm thinking maybe my useless mutation is already manifested. And it's helping all these stories pollute my feed so I can rant like a crazy homeless person in the street screaming at buildings, right? I mean, that's probably my mutant power. I mean, well, you know, here's to hoping maybe a few COVID infections in the future and I can get like super strength or the ability to fly, or I don't know, maybe just something useful, right? I mean, so hey, COVID, if you're going to fucking infect me, you be sure to give me something cool. I wouldn't mind like some sort of mutant superpower that would actually be useful, all right? Are we clear? You get me?
Huh? Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Well, so all of a sudden after this story polluted my feed, I started thinking a little bit with the other stuff that came in about how Hunter Biden has that thing in his memoir where he said that he smoked more Parmesan cheese than any human being because he thought it was crack cocaine and he was constantly on a bender. And of course, right when I think that, what should channel itself and show up in my feed? But the fact that Denver County, where I live, is now looking to decriminalize magic mushrooms even further. So yeah, man, we're like the land of the free and the home of the fucking brave over here. Carpet surfing the good old days. All right, so Denver, since the city made history as the first in the country to decriminalize magic mushrooms, fears about widespread abuse of the psychedelic drug have yet to materialize, not surprisingly, propelling proponents to push for a psilocybin agenda even further. So they did what they normally do, establish a panel that does absolutely nothing but make recommendations at like 3 times the fucking price that it would cost any other set of professionals to do anything, right? You'll shroom your brains out. Exactly, Julia. So a panel established after voters narrowly decriminalized psilocybin mushrooms in 2019 is delivering a draft of policy recommendations to the Denver City Council next month. What could possibly go wrong? I'm sure these are wonderful recommendations. Like, hey, how about we just decriminalize it completely and sell it over in the head shops? Did we go ahead and get that sort of recommendation, Carlos? I'm just asking.
No.
Of course we didn't. So, but there are some cool things. The main elements of this, right, to the panel's preliminary recommendations. Here we go. Decriminalizing the sharing and gifting of magic mushrooms. Okay, all right. And decriminalizing the use of shrooms in groups, medicinal, and therapeutic settings. All right, that's cool, but, I mean, I noticed that you can't, like, buy the mushrooms over there. So what happens? The guy that comes over and says, hey, free magic mushrooms, why don't we all go ahead and get high together? He's got to buy it from somebody. So what, he's still going to go ahead and get pinched for it? I'm just saying, there might be a little bit of something you got to take care of, right? But, you know, on the good side, decriminalizing and sharing use in groups, you say? Could you imagine? I mean, I could just see, like, a bunch of grandmothers in a knitting circle at, like, the local yarn shop tripping balls while touching each other's faces and knitting a bunch of, like, flying spaghetti monster dildo cozies under black lights with all the shades of neon yarn. I mean, couldn't you fucking see that? Because that's probably what's going to happen, right? I could also, like, see them bringing a tray of, like, brownies laced with edibles to go with the THC-infused tea. I mean, is there anybody else in here that has the sudden and overwhelming desire to take up knitting? Or is it just me? I'm just asking for a friend, you know? Well, it turns out that, oh, look, Qua, stop eating your Doritos and get in here already. Well, you know, it's funny because what winds up happening is shortly after that, I don't know, freaking my newsfeed decided, hey, guess what? You got to sit here and you got to let them know that this isn't something that just went ahead and all of a sudden popped up out of the middle of fucking nowhere. I'll tell you what, man. It turns out that prehistoric cavemen starved themselves of oxygen to induce hallucinations and inspire freaking ancient paintings. So researchers have been questioning for years why so many of the world's oldest paintings were located in often pitch black tunnel systems far away from cave entrances. Now I got a question. I'm going to stop there for a second. Does anybody sit here and actually ponder this shit? Or do you actually, like, have to get paid to sit in a university and do nothing all fucking day to think about this stuff? I'm just wondering, right? It's like one day you're sitting there looking through an art book and thinking to yourself, you know,
who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
I'm thinking that we got to figure out why they keep putting all the best paintings and the oldest paintings in the darkest fucking locations. We'll give you a hint why, right? One of the ways that it happens is it's kind of like when you get rich and you go to college. You take your fucking diploma, and instead of hanging it up in your office, you put it in the bathroom because you don't need it anymore, right? I sound unusually energized tonight. Off my monthly hamburger. Actually, no, man. It's my whiskey. It's my whiskey. It loves me. It freaking loves me. But at any rate, right? So it's all the way back over there. But in a recent study by some dude sitting over there with his thumb up his ass, probably ate some of those brownies and was in the knitting circle, he went ahead and revealed that the location was deliberate because it induced oxygen deprivation. And hypoxia can bring about symptoms including shortness of breath, headaches, confusion, rapid heartbeat, you know, all those great feelings you need to get inspired to do a fucking painting. But it can also lead to feelings of euphoria, near-death experiences, and out-of-body sensations. Very similar to when you're taking drugs. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there, man. Who in the hell ever experienced that when they took drugs? I'm just saying, right? I don't remember the headaches and the confusion and all that shit. I remember the other stuff, but none of that stuff, right? So at any rate, going back into this. So the cavemen used to fire light up. What is it? They used fire to light up the caves and shit, which would simultaneously also reduce oxygen levels. And painting in these conditions was done deliberately and as a means of connecting to the cosmos. The researcher also suggested that cave paintings could have been used as part of, like, a kind of initiation rite. And I'm thinking to myself, picture, you go back into that time, right? Back when the Neanderthals were around. Couldn't you just imagine? You see a cave entrance over there, right? And it, like, it's got Jay and Silent Bob Neanderthal sitting there. And it kind of looks like the Quick Stop. And those are your freaking guys that are going ahead and actually being like your holder to go ahead and get inside the cave. I mean, I'm not entirely sure how long it took the Neanderthals to begin finger painting penises on the walls of caves while high and connecting with the cosmos. But clearly, whomever did so was probably the single greatest trendsetter in all of human fucking history. You know what I'm saying? Because take a look at it, right? Most of the people that are sitting there now, I shouldn't say most of them, but when you talk about, like, hypoxia and people, like, choking themselves or, you know, depriving themselves of oxygen to go and do, like, artistic shit, it's usually people who engage in, like, autoerotic fixation. And autoerotic fixation was a thing for a while here, right? Where people would choke themselves while, like, rubbing one out in an effort to, allegedly, increase the sexual pleasure by depriving oxygen to the brain. You know, famous former celebrities such as, like, David Carradine, Mr. Kung Fu himself, and Michael Hutchinson's from INXS, they died from this very thing. Now, what if it's just, like, we didn't really understand? What if we were projecting our own, like, repressed sexuality on them and said, they were trying to rub one out and get a better orgasm? What if they were, in fact, you know, instead of them beating off while choking themselves to chase an orgasm, what if they were just looking to connect with the cosmos and finger paint images on the walls of their closet using semen as their medium of choice? I mean, could we potentially be looking at a situation where maybe we didn't freaking understand, or maybe we just jumped to conclusions and projected our own shit on them? That's possible, right? So these great and wonderful freaking people are out there. Uh-oh, did Qua come back? Qua's here, I guess. You know who we're missing? We're missing Normok. That's who we're missing. And I know Normok gets offended by the show, but he loves the heresy. So we got to go ahead and see if we can bring Normok in here, right? At any rate, well, addicts that are desperate for a fix generally do stupid shit. Like, you know, I don't know, choking yourself while autoerotically asphyxiating and doing all kinds of crazy shit like that. Or, like, attempting to smoke Parmesan cheese, as in the case of Punter Hayden. Or even, like, licking the venom off the back of Bufo toads. Our trash heap repository of natural selection-inspired pop culture has come up with brand new ways of tickling the dragon's tail. And where do we go ahead and look for our newest ways of doing that? Well, shit, TikTok, of course, right? And what are they doing over in TikTok? Well, apparently now they're fucking overdosing on nutmeg. That's what they're doing.
I mean, what the fuck?
Holy fucking shit. So TikTok users drink a mix of 2 to 4 tablespoons of fucking nutmeg with milk or water and document their reactions as large amounts of the spice can lead to intoxication, allegedly. It takes like, you know, yeah, Normok, don't be offended. Just join the fun. It takes 5 to 20 grams or like 1 to 4 teaspoons for those of you that are keeping track for like research purposes only for later to become intoxicated, according to the American Association for Clinical Chemistry. So a typical pumpkin pie recipe, for instance, it only calls for like 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg. So symptoms will usually begin within 3 to 6 hours, lasting 12 to 24 hours. And that period is often followed by a deep sleep, according to the AACC. Symptoms which are dose-related, the AACC, that organization says, include dry mouth, agitation, hypothermia, and hallucination, among others. And in some cases, coma and death can be associated with nutmeg overconsumption. Who the fuck knew? You know, I got a bunch of squirrels out in the backyard I'm going to get rid of. Maybe I should just, like, OD them on fucking nutmeg. Watch them go ahead and experience God, touch the cosmos, use semen as, like, their freaking medium to do finger painting of, like, little squirrel penises, and then eventually go into a coma and die. That would be fucking great. Make the squirrels go away with nutmeg. Holy shit. So apparently its toxicity comes from myristicin, I guess it is, oil which is found in anise, which tastes like ass anyways. So a representative for TikTok told The Insider in a statement that the company is actively removing videos and not which encourage the nutmeg challenge. He said, quote, "The safety and well-being of our users is a top priority on TikTok." Try not to snicker while I'm reading this. "And makes it clear that our community guidelines, which we do not allow content that displays, promotes, or encourages drugs or drug consumption. We remove any such reported content," allegedly, the spokesperson said. But as of Monday afternoon, the Nutmeg Challenge hashtag page still had 46.6 million views, right? I'm sitting here thinking to myself,
"How dare you?"
Dude, what are you talking about? Yeah, we remove everything. I swear to God, we care about our community. You know what I'm saying?
That's a scam.
Yeah, right. At any rate, so, and pages upon pages of clips showing young people ingesting this fucking spice. Good God, man. First off, look, I love nutmeg in doses, but I hate the fucking taste of anise. Anise is like licking the butthole of a rhinoceros, and a sweaty rhinoceros at that, the best I can understand. But you know something, more importantly, I would have thought this shit would have been a seasonal challenge. I mean, with all that fucking nutmeg, you would basically be shitting out an eggnog air freshener every time you dropped a deuce. You know what I'm saying? I mean, holy fuck, that is so not seasonal for spring. Spring's about flowers and pansies and all that shit. This is about fucking eggnog air fresheners at this stage of the game, right? So think about it. If you put in, like, mix in a little bit of, like, vanilla cinnamon latte or maybe some pumpkin spice into your coffee, the next thing you know, you're shitting out a fucking pumpkin pie air freshener. Who the fuck needs the Yankee Candle Company or Poopery when you can have the Nutmeg Challenge trending on fucking TikTok? You know what I'm saying? I mean, on the positive side, I suppose at least, like, the next flaming bag of shit you leave on the porch of, like, the asshole neighbor next door this Christmas in July, it'll at least have, like, the warm spice smell of the season wafting off of it. You know, it'll give the positive, like, vibes and stuff like that. But you know something? It always seems like whenever a group of people get together and get drunk or high, there's always that one fucktard who just won't shut the fuck up with a constant esoteric babbling of his, like, snazzled armchair Aristotle fucking ramblings. Am I right? You know what I'm saying? It's that one guy, right? You'll either be sitting there and going ahead and enjoying what's going on, and then that one guy's got to suddenly feel compelled to share with the group how tranny porn changed his life, right? And you're sitting there going, "Dude, I didn't need to know that." And then he starts to go into his entire freaking doctoral thesis on how it goes ahead and it frees oneself and so on and so forth. And it's like, bro, stop. Well, listen, those people can be annoying, right? But the armchair Aristotle dickwad we're talking about right here is yet another TikToker who's now sitting there going ahead and being absolutely like fucking revered for his esoteric intelligence and shit like that, allegedly. This dipshit has a, quote, mind-blowing fucking conspiracy theory that claims we're all dead or are just reliving our fucking memories. You know what I'm saying?
What the fuck?
Dude, first off, this sounds like you ripped it off from somebody else's fucking journal or some shit like that. And you're looking to try and get, like, a B-rated movie, or you're trying to pretend like you're smart so that you can go ahead and get a couple of the TikTok chicks on there to go ahead and, I don't know, do something with you. But let's go ahead and find out what Mr. Matt Wellen has here, right? So, Mr. Matt Wellen shared the conspiracy theory and explained that we could all be lying in hospital beds and living in flashbacks, as he claimed we wouldn't realize we're trapped in the near-death experience. Oh, my God! First
off,
that's
a scam!
Yeah, do we fucking believe this guy? No, but let's read on here. All right. So, he says, quote, so scientifically, it's proven that when we die, our mind is still functioning, and that it's true that our life literally does flash before our eyes. How fucking original. At any rate, there's a 7-minute period of time you'll rewatch your entire life, but it won't feel like 7 minutes. It'll feel like forever, ever, 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 ever. All right, listen. Continuing on his mind-boggling theory with eerie music in the background, Matt says there's no way for us to find out if we are trapped in the near-death experience. Quote, you just have to think it's your life. What I'm trying to say is we could all be dead, lying in a hospital bed somewhere, and this reality is our life, flashing before our eyes in a weird way. Way, way. His clip has garnered more than 1.2 million views from fucking idiots out there who think he's like the next coming of fucking Aristotle over here. And, you know, whatever. So fucking mind-blowing theory. Dude, let's be real. This is more like a retread idea from the fucking dollar store bargain bin. You know that place where, like, all the returned undergarments that have, like, you know, skid marks in them and shit like that are shoved back in their plastic containers, sealed with duct tape and marked like 50% off? That's where you got this from, brother. Let me tell you a few things here. Let's talk about a few logical inconsistencies. If we're sitting here living in our 7-minute fucking fantasy world, shit, man, we wouldn't even know what the fucking laws of physics are. So for all you know, this whole thing about, well, you only got 7 minutes to live and maybe it's the rest of our life and all that shit, bro, you wouldn't even fucking know. I'm just saying. It's part of the dream, brother. It's part of the dream. So do me a favor here, right? Was he coming down from a TikTok nutmeg challenge when he did this video? We have no definitive proof he was. But I'll say this much. If he wasn't, he probably should have been. Or maybe next time, he should come visit a knitting circle here in Denver, get some original ideas inspired by the neon flying spaghetti monster dildo cozies, which will inspire him at the next meetup. That's all I'm saying. And maybe we'll get some good original content out of him instead of this fucking bargain basement nonsense that's going on about, I'm so fucking deep and esoteric, I'm just going to borrow everybody else's ideas and pawn off as my own. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. We could all be dying or we dead, and it's like our last 7 minutes of life. Life, 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 life. Oh, God, I just need some help now. You know what I really need? I really need some whiskey now, and I need a break. That's what happens. See, Clay, you came in right when the break happened. Excellent freaking timing. It's a shame that you weren't here for the cybacillin part all the way at the beginning, because that's just the way that it is. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. We're going to go ahead and take a break now. You're listening to Joculation. So we went a bit, I don't know, maybe I got a little bit too energized at the beginning of the show. I mean, what can I say, man? I'm going to go ahead and blame it on the whiskey because, you know, I got to go ahead and project all of my my stuff on something else there, right? Isn't that what it is? Or is it displacement? I can't remember because, I don't know, it's been like decades since I actually took some psychology and all that. Where's Cope when you need him? Oh, yeah, he's over there doing whatever he's doing with his fingies. That's all right, man. That's cool. Hey, kids, you're listening to Joculation. It's LP Faust. We went ahead and got into the drug section pretty early, all the way at the beginning of the show, talking about how wonderfully awesome that it is that Denver over here is gonna decriminalize even further psilocybin. So You can share it without any criminal repercussions, right? You can do everything except sell it. So I'm looking forward to the knitting circles and all that sort of shit that are going to be taking place over here, where everybody will be touching their faces, making flying spaghetti monster dildo cozies out of just the neon yarn and all that sort of stuff. Vegan cannibals? I don't know. Clay. I'm confused too. Beans? No, man. Beans are terrible. Ugh. Of all the things that I don't like, that would be like one of them. But there's a lot of things that I do like. But we won't talk about that because there's other shit that's really important. Ron was sitting here on Wednesday night complaining about the fact that he's like, I wish I could rant like LP and rant about things that fucking matter. And I'm thinking to myself, bro, hey, decriminalizing fucking psilocybin is very fucking important, right? It's very important. No, man, beans, I mean, especially like garbanzo beans. Now, if you create like a bean burger, that's a different story. If you do something with beans, like beans in and of itself, just for themselves, no. No. So like when I went over to England, man, let me tell you, or I should say the UK, right? Because is England like offensive or something like that? Is it kind of like
dare you?
Yeah. No, I did not have baked beans for breakfast, right? Are we gonna go ahead and never eat freaking baked beans?
How about no?
Fuck no, man. Baked beans are no. Absolutely not. Garbanzo beans are even like more no. That's all I can say about that. But Ron was sitting there screaming about, you know, if only you would talk about and rant about shit that people care about. I'm like, dude, I'm not here to save the world. So I thought for a second. I said, you know, maybe what I should do is maybe I should go ahead. And considering it was Earth Day yesterday, maybe what I should do is do an entire segment on Earth Day, right? I mean, it shows that I care. I'm being socially responsible with my useless mutant ability, right? I mean, there we go, right? So I'm like, well, let's take a look at what we can find here. Can we find some Earth Day-friendly stories? And I found a bunch of them. So these are the Earth Day-friendly customer service fail stories that were out there circulating around on that Thursday, right? It's all about how can we go ahead and shit on all of our, like, friends and our companions and the people that actually purchase our product, but still be socially responsible this Earth Day? Well, like take, for instance, you know, everybody gives China a bunch of shit out there about how terrible they are, putting all kinds of shit like brake fluid and things inside of, like, our pet food and shit of that nature. But you know something? Nobody sits there and gives them any accolades when they do great things for conservation and making sure that they're green. Like, for instance, you know, repackaging other people's takeout in China so that they can just go ahead and reserve it to somebody else. I mean, that's fucking green, right? You know? So apparently two popular restaurant chains in China, Manling Restaurant and San Mai Koji, have come under fire as undercover video has emerged of workers reserving leftover food scraps and handing dishes with dirty hands, according to the report. So apparently workers there were seen on a video using leftovers such as congee as well as other dishes, the South China Morning Post reported on Wednesday. They were also seen not washing their hands. Well, shit, they're conserving water, and they're not polluting the existing water supply with that toxic fucking soap, right? So, according to the video, it was, quote, yeah, it's a leftover, a Manling worker told an undercover reporter from Fujian Television after he used the pork ribs from a leftover soup to cook Chinese yam and meat congee. It's okay to cook again, he claimed. Don't worry, there are no cooties on it. We just take a little dirt and rub it out, and boom, good as new. No problem. See, this is the quintessential Earth Day freaking story that Krim should have been featuring on her show last night, right? Instead, this is it. People need to know that this stuff, right, is going on. Well, I mean, what about the fact that, let's look at another, like, fucking, you know, fail that's going on here. But again, while it's a customer service fail, it could be a win because we don't want to waste food, right? So, for instance, when you get that hankering for some Cinnamon Toast Crunch in the morning, you know, you go grab it, you're like, sweet, yummy breakfast food. Let me pour a little milk in here, and I'll go ahead and enjoy the sugar rush, and it'll bring me back home. Like, you know, when Mom used to go ahead and put shrimp tails inside my box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, right? So, apparently there's a comedian that's out there. that went ahead and discovered this fantastic these shrimp tails inside the Cinnamon Toast Crunch that he so loved and lauded. So he went ahead and messaged General Mills and asked him, he's like, so why are there shrimp tails in my cereal? Complete with picture. He's saying in parentheses, this is not a bit that Jensen Karp tweeted Monday afternoon, tagging the General Mills own brand with a photo of what looks like two sugar-coated shrimp tails. About an hour later, Cinnamon Toast Crunch responded to the tweet. Oh, we're sorry to see what you found. We would like to report this to our quality team and replace the box. Can you please send us a DM so we can collect more details? Thanks. Now, if that's not the most condescending shit you could ever fucking do, well, it gets better. So Karp retweets back, guys, I'm not sure I'm ready for another box. So then, in a subsequent tweet, General Mills comes back and says, it appears as though this there's like an accumulation of cinnamon and sugar. There's no possibility of cross-contamination with shrimp. Now, notice what was not said, right? There was no outright denial of, we don't have shrimp in our facility. There's no way that we could have possibly gotten shrimp in there because we don't use shrimp in any of our products. Did that actually get said? I'm just wondering. I'm asking for a friend.
How about news?
That's not what was said. What was said is there's no possibility of cross-contamination with the shrimp, implying that there are shrimp there and we don't go ahead and actually box them up with the cereal, allegedly, right? Well, all of a sudden in a subsequent tweet, Karp told Karp that the image appears to be that. And then he says, okay, after further investigation with my eyes, this is what Karp responds to them. These are cinnamon-coated shrimp tails, you weirdos, he tweeted. And he provided more images. And he said, you know, I wasn't all that mad until you tried to gaslight me. So then Karp decided to take a closer look at the bag of cereal after talking with a friend, and he found more questionable objects in there, including a string and cereal squares with black marks. So then Karp tweeted back after he found that. He's like, all right, man, I stopped, but my wife has a stronger stomach than me, and she decided to check the other bag in the family pack. And this one appears to be taped up and also appears to include, I don't even want to say it, dental floss, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude. Dude. Dental floss. Holy fucking shit. And, of course, General Mills turns around and immediately says, well, we're going to investigate the matter, but we could say with absolute confidence that this didn't occur to our facility. And, I mean, do we believe them for just one second? I mean,
you? Fuck
no, man. I mean, is anyone else thinking like this Cinnamon Toast issue, right? Anyone thinking like the dude from the freaking Chinese place has a side hustle over here from the Mind Vandling restaurant over in China? And he's like putting shit inside the Cinnamon Toast Crunch production line, kind of like a box of Cracker Jacks. Well, fuck, they didn't need any of these shrimp tails over at work, and I go and can just bring these over here and put them in the Cinnamon fucking Toast Crunch thing. You know something? Somebody picked their teeth clean with this fucking dental floss over here. We don't want to go ahead and create a trash heap over there that won't decompose for 100 years. So I know, we'll just put it as like a little reward inside of the fucking Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So it could be like a Cracker Jack box, kind of like the lickable tattoos and shit like that that you go ahead and get in there. You know what I'm saying? Holy sheep shit. But again, they're doing a wonderful job. Don't let a scrap go to waste, right? Oh, look, there's some shrimp tails over there in the facility, right? From the P.F. Chang's boxed indoor whatever. You know what? Just throw them inside the cinnamon crunch thing like that over there. Perfect, man. They got the same texture. It's sweet. It's beautiful. It'll work wonderfully. And you know what? The greatest thing is we don't have to buy any more corn for the fucking squares. That's what they're doing, right? Well, you know, probably the quintessential winner this week of, you know, just sort of like the poster child for everything Earth Day celebration. Right. You would think maybe food services, perhaps something like, I don't know, in the trash industry. No, we're talking plastic surgery. Why? Because we got a surgeon over here, plastic surgeon, who apparently likes to do TikTok videos dancing around with the bags of fat that she liposuctioned out of people's asses so that she can go ahead and get some likes and upvotes over on freaking TikTok. So, Ron, that dude, Meg, you know, that you DM'd me, he might actually be sitting there going ahead and, trying to single-handedly save TikTok. But then you got this chick, Karen Truscolato, whatever the fuck her name is. Well, she went ahead and had her medical license suspended by the medical board over in Sao Paulo, Brazil, after posting a video on TikTok of herself busting a move while holding bags of human fat and flesh, baby. Holy shit. Well, she had posted not one, not two, but dozens of videos on TikTok showing her dancing at the clinic, with some depicting her holding bags of human fat she reportedly removed from patients during liposuction procedures. The video showed that the surgeon was prancing around with flesh bags and captions such as, "This is underarm fat, and this is a breast." And I'm sitting there asking myself, dude, are you fucking pulling a breast out of something? You're doing a mastectomy, and you're like, hey, look at what I got, guys. Leftovers. I mean, dude. Holy fucking shit is all I can say. So here's the part that really fucking gets me, right? She's got, ready, 645,000 followers on TikTok. Dude, the fucking world is just going to hell. Dude, hey, look, Ron, it's not the end of civilization in America. We've just fucking, we've lost. I mean, you know, maybe they would have given her a reprieve if she was like doing tutorials about how to make soap from human fat. I mean, you remember that shit from oh shit, what is that fucking Edward Norton freaking movie? Fight Club. You remember that shit from Fight Club, right? Where Tyler Durden was basically stealing the fat from all of these clinics to go make a soap operation so he could make this like high-end organic soap to, quote, sell the rich bitches their fat asses back to them at a premium, right? Could you imagine for a second if she went ahead, thanks, Julia, if she went ahead and actually went, or this chick went ahead and had like a soap making freaking seminar. It's like, hey, look, here's the fat from this chick's ass. Now let's turn it into something useful like a bar of soap. That would have been great. Or maybe, hey, look, here's the gut from this dude who's clearly had too many Big Macs. Let's just go ahead and repurpose this into something useful. And go ahead and, like, live that Earth Day every day, right? Isn't that the slogan? That's what I remember it being. So at any rate, man, when you're sitting there thinking about it, when you're out there saying, God, I think it's the end of the fucking world, don't worry. There are people that are out there going ahead and doing their best to live Earth Day every day and still create customer service disasters everywhere so that we can go ahead and get angry, have material to rant about, and create loads of family entertainment here on MSP Waves, right? Am I right? All right, man, I need to take a break because, wow, I'm parched. So I'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take a break here, listen to a little bit of music. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. So like R1, you're like halfway there, right? We're halfway done. And you know something? The greatest thing on the face of the earth is I hear people sitting there going, dude, I don't want to hear the music anymore. I want to hear you rant like a fucking crazy person sitting on your front porch shouting at people to get off your fucking lawn. And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'll do more of that, right? So, I mean, if you want, I mean, hey, R1, I'll tell you what, since you're a newbie here, do you want me to go ahead and just start playing more music and we could just call it a show, or would you like me to go ahead and actually, like, do the rest of the show? I'm just asking for a friend. Because, I mean, hey, everybody, do we take requests on this show? I'm just asking a question here.
How about new?
Yeah, fuck that, man. Hey, man, you're listening to Joculation, or maybe you're not. Maybe you're getting ready to go do something else, and that's cool, too. But, hey, if you're here, you're here. It's Friday night. It's Joculation. We got the Circle of Intimacy. We're going strong. It's halfway into the show. So, yeah, we've got people coming in and out. Some of them are lurking. Some of them are not. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of shit going on over here. And if you missed the show, the first part of the show is about drugs. The second show part of the show is about fucked up customer service experiences, but yet had an Earth Day kind of a feel about them. Well, you know something? The third part of this show, we've got to go ahead and kind of take it full circle, right? First, you have all the fucktards that are sitting over there that are fucking up customer service that are part of that. Then you got people going ahead and using products and probably doing shit that they should have never done with products in the first place, right? So, for instance, If you ever have heard of the actual substance called tannerite, well, apparently what happens now is gender reveal parties have gone a little bit overboard. So what winds up happening is we've got people that are going ahead and effectively using tannerite in freaking, gender reveal parties over here. In fact, we had one guy that used tannerite, so much goddamn tannerite, he did some fantastic shit. So apparently some neighborhoods in several different southwest or southern New Hampshire towns were rocked by a mysterious explosion Tuesday night. The Kingston police say the blast was caused by a family using explosives to reveal the gender of their fucking baby. It shook the houses surrounding neighborhoods and was even captured on a doorbell camera from the next town over. So everybody called the cops, right? One person's quoted as saying, "It cracked the foundations of our neighbors' homes." I don't know how that's right. So tannerite, if you're not familiar with it, it's used a lot in shooting. What you do is you get two different ingredients. You get the tannerite and you get the oxidizer. You mix them together, you put it in a target bag, and when you shoot the bag, boom, it explodes, right? Well, it's great. You've got little bags of that shit, but this dude decided that that's not enough for his gender reveal, so police said he used 80 pounds of fucking tannerite.
What the fuck?
Let's say that again. 80 pounds of fucking tannerite.
What the fuck?
During his gender reveal party, because apparently he wanted the world to know. So the substance is an over-the-counter explosive target used in firearms practice. It comes with an oxidizer. The fuel is a separate packet, and you mix it. And once mixed, you place it somewhere, quote, safely out of range, where you would then shoot it, right? So he takes 80 pounds of this shit, puts it over there with some powder inside of it, hits it, boom, and then you've got, like, freaking people's houses shaking so hard in, like, the three or four towns surrounding that pictures are falling off the wall and shit like that. Well, in the event that you want to go ahead and know, the police say that it was a boy, so I know that's the last thing you could possibly want. If you think I'm fake newsing the shit out of you, please feel free to go ahead and watch the news report of the tannerite blast that actually happened. It was picked up on TV. And in the event that you'd like to have a home terrorism kit of your own to let the world know what the gender of your fucking child is, no problem. You can buy this shit on Amazon. Take a look. There's your tannerite link. You can go straight to Amazon. You can get it in blue or pink because, you know, I guess what happens is there's a lot of gendered issues that are going on over there. But, you know, you could probably mix them together, create some sort of snazzy whatever. But nevertheless, you can go ahead and buy some tannerite, have your own home terrorism kit shipped straight to you so that you can go ahead and be hauled off to Guantanamo Bay right after you go ahead and let the world know the gender of your fucking child. You know what I'm saying? All right, man. So then again, you know, you've got all these fucktards, and it's funny. I got into this conversation with somebody about the fact that, what was it? There was a conversation. Apparently, last night I had some friends over, and we talked about the Gorilla Glue challenge that was going on for a little while, and I didn't follow up on the story. Well, you know what, Krim? There are people that got tannerite. And you can buy it from Amazon if you want, so just knock yourself out. And if you want, you can even get it in blue or pink powder. So there you go. But we were talking about the Gorilla Glue challenge that was going on. And I didn't follow up. And apparently the woman that sued the Gorilla Glue company because she decided to go ahead and sue them for substituting her hair gel with Gorilla Glue, she won. And she got millions for it because she's a fucking idiot. And there's these sort different types of warranties that they didn't go ahead and cover, like the obvious, the implied, and all that sort of stuff. Well, you always have people that are absolute fucking idiots using your product, so you never know when you're going to get sued, so you always got to create a reserve. But then there's stuff that, you know, in the wonderful world of TikTok, you know how it is. When you're a fucking idiot and you put Gorilla Glue in your hair, boom, you got to go in and instantly put it over on TikTok. When you Gorilla Glue a freaking red Solo cup to your face, you got to go put it over on TikTok, right? Because there's nothing like going ahead and getting millions of people clicking on laughing at your ass to go ahead and make you feel like the fame whore that you absolutely are. Well, you know something? It doesn't stop there. Apparently what winds up happening is, for some reason or other, over in the UK, people can't seem to get their tanning products correct, right? Sometimes you have tanning mishaps that might actually turn you into a woman like looking like Fiona from Shrek after a major fucking tanning mistake. You know, and it provides us with great humor over here. So Lily Vergis, over in Rochester, Kent, apparently accidentally turned herself green thanks to a fake tan blunder. So she purchased a bottle of St. Moritz 1-hour tan fast, right, or fast tan, which apparently seems to be like the fucking tanning fail choice of the world, right? No, it's not orange, Eileen. This is a green, a shade of green she turned, right? So apparently she went ahead and got that shade, and it was the darker than dark, and it was the only one left in the shop. And she slathered it on, and she decided to go to sleep in it instead of washing it off, as the instructions advised, which might be where we go ahead and start the journey down the rabbit hole here. Quote, I ended up using the whole bottle. After the second layer, let's stop there a second. Were we told about a second layer?
How about new?
No, I mean, but this just adds to the layers of ignorance and stupidity in the story, right? So she puts not only one, but two layers on and goes to sleep. I didn't think it was a bit dark, but I decided to keep going. So in other words, she didn't just go ahead and put on two layers. She's like, ah, fuck, that's not dark enough. Let me go ahead and throw a little bit more of this shit on my skin over here, right? And, you know, she went ahead and did that, and then she slept in it. The next morning, I had a shower, and the water just kept running green for ages.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, that might be a hint that she might have fucked up just a little bit. Every time I washed for the next few days, the water came running off of me, and it was still green. Let's stop there a second. Next few fucking days.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, how green exactly, Darsico? Yes, like the chick from Star Trek, right? you notice the woman accidentally glued her eyes shut while she put Oh, Naj, I wish I had caught that story, but you know what? There's so much else that happened in the news. It's like the hardest part of this is, shall I use a term that we use over in the Hive community? Curating. you've got to potentially curate the best of them. But you know what? Now I'll have to go ahead and take a look at that. So at any rate, Lily said, people were calling me Fiona from Shrek because my ginger hair and green skin all matched with her. Well, I mean, she might kind of look like Fiona, but she also kind of looks like that chick Darsico put up over there. CNN? Oh, man. This is certainly not News Network, right? Well, apparently this is a freaking problem throughout the UK because, you know, there's another chick over here. She also had a tanning accident, and she claims that her fake tan blunder left her hotel bed looking like a crime scene. So in yet another TikTok video, another fame whore named Gemma, at Gemma, I can't even freaking pronounce that last name. She asked for help, allegedly, after applying fake tan at a hotel that she was staying at. But one woman recently shared a fake tan blunder and had nothing to do with her. She looked perfectly bronzed, she said, but her sheets paid the price. The dark brown product went all over the white bedding as she slept, leaving her room looking like, quote, a crime scene, allegedly. More than 76,000 fucktards watch this footage, giving it over 2,000 likes. Listen, man. I took a look at this, right? Because we have to have a discerning eye. I regret to inform you, adhesive Americans are at it again. I don't know if I even want to open that one up. At any rate, I took a look at the pictures of this alleged, like, tan in a can crime scene, right? And to me, it looks more like somebody overdosed on X-Lax or like someone was trying to create some abstract art with an overdose of laxative and an enema attached to a fire hose. And it included a few hotel sheets along with it. I mean, if you want to get an idea of what it really fucking looks like, it kind of reminded me of this clip from Bruno where they actually go ahead and break into the hotel room and he's like chained to his lovers and they put all this shit all over the walls and stuff like that, quite literally. Fucking hilarious. That is what it looks like. Crime scene? Nah, I'd expect splatters all over the place of blood, shit like that. I wouldn't expect it to look like somebody fed the dachshund like something it shouldn't have ate and it ran all over the place shitting itself, jumping on the bed and like, you know, like doing that scoot of its butt across the sheets to try and wipe itself off. Now, that's more what it looks like. I'm just saying, man. But then I came to realize why it was that they're actually having such a serious problem over in the UK. Well, it turns out that it has everything to do with the fact that Prince Philip's funeral was happening. And I mean, You don't want to look pasty and white when you're a topless woman who's shouting save the planet absolutely bare-breasted during Prince Philip's funeral when you're getting arrested outside of Windsor Castle, do you? Because that would be a major, major fucking faux pas over there, I would think, right? So apparently on Saturday, a televised funeral was held for Prince Philip at St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle, and Prince Philip died at the age of 99. Now, according to Metro's James Hockaday, an unidentified woman caused a scene outside of Windsor Castle when she ran in front of the crowd following the minute of silence for Prince Philip. Well, that was very magnanimous of her to at least wait for a minute of silence before she decided to just absolutely shit all over everything by running through with her bare breasts, shouting, "Save the planet! Save the planet!" So the woman sprinted down the road, screaming, "Save the planet!" Shortly after, the crowd began clapping, the Metro reported. She also jumped onto a statue of Queen Victoria, but was apprehended by authorities, according to the Metro. Now, unfortunately, the statue did not get sexually assaulted, like the Christopher Columbus statue did over in Miami during COVID lockdown, and we don't get to hear about how the emergency, the EMTs over there had to clean, like, gobs of semen off of the statue, unfortunately, because, you know, they like to keep it classy over in London. So, unfortunately, all we've got is a bare-breasted woman pole dancing on Queen Victoria, hoping to save the planet, obviously giving a Green Day speech at the most appropriate time during a solemn ceremony of Prince Philip's funeral, because, well, you know. All right, man, I'm going to take a break here. Jesus Christ, this show is going fast. Guess what, kids? I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. And just like that, wow. I was like, hey, man, it says there's like 6 seconds left on this thing, Tom. What are you doing to me, bro? I mean, come on, just like, hey.
What the fuck?
You know. Hey, look. Long time no see, Stace. How are you doing? I hope you enjoy yourself. Don't worry. The show hasn't changed that much, I don't think. Maybe it has. Who knows? We'll have to just sit and find out, right? Hey, kids, it's Joculation. I'm LP Faust, your host. You know, cultural attitude of the stars. Seems like our circle of intimacy is growing a little bit over here. Hold on a sec.
One of us. Cool gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Cool gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Uh-oh. Sounds like there might be some drama attached to that. So you know what, Krim? I'm not even going to go ahead and touch that one. How's that? I'm just going to be like Switzerland over here. At any rate, so we went ahead and we covered the gambit today. It started out all about drugs, and then we moved into like customer service fails, and we turned it around and looked at product fails by other people. And you know what the customer service fails was? Looking through the lens of like our Earth Day that went ahead and happened. Fails that actually were good for the planet Earth, if you will. Well, kids, normally what I do right now is I talk about art and don't curse it, LP. You know what? I don't care. I've been called a whole lot of things. I could care fucking less. So normally I go ahead and I devote a lot of this to the NFT craze or some sort of strange little thing like that. But what winds up happening is we'll go ahead and call it like half and half. So in the world of the NFTs right now, one of the big things that's happened is the Edward Snowden art piece has recently sold. So it sold for $5.4 million in Ethereum. So Stay Free, which is this NFT art piece, it portrays the NSA whistleblower and exiled American with his hand on his chin like a modern-day Rodin statue. But you'll find the image has been formed from the pages of a U.S. appeals court decision that the Patriot Act did not permit mass collection and surveillance of Americans' phone records by the NSA. So the artwork sold on a foundation, a community-driven NFT marketplace, where the overly attached girlfriend NFT sold for 200 Ethereum, and Nyan Cat animation earned 300. So the NFT artwork was created by Edward Snowden, and it sold for $5.4 million in Ethereum. And according to Snowden, the proceeds will go to Freedom of the Press Foundation, a nonprofit established in 2012 that develops an open source communication and encryption tools, as well as tracks press freedoms, right? Do we believe that for a second? Fuck no. You know what's going to wind up happening, right? First off, I agree with you, Eileen. I would go ahead and I'd buy that one. It's a pretty cool piece. $5.4 million, I mean, hey, would we go ahead and actually buy this piece?
How about new?
No, man. I wouldn't buy it for $5.4 million, but it's a beautiful piece of artwork. That is not in dispute here. So I'm thinking that what's going to happen is Eddie Snowden's going to shave maybe, I don't know, like a million off, you know, call it like, fees, if you will, like organization fees or operating expenses or whatever. And then just kind of like donate the $4.4 million to the Freedom of the Press Foundation, which he probably doesn't know what that thing is doing. Anyways, he's like, hey, I like these people. They're really cool. I like their mission statement. But here we go. Let me go ahead and cut you off $4.4 million. Didn't that sell for $5 million? I mean, well, dude, fees, right? I got to go ahead and cover the operating expenses. I mean, that's what the fucking American Red Cross does, but worse, right? So if the American Red Cross gets 100 or say 1 million, they'll just shave off like, I don't know, 600,000 of it and say, here, 400,000 to help working families everywhere and people in need, right? I mean, that's the way that it works, man. So I was thinking with, and then of course, as I'm sitting here taking a look at this feed over here, about Edward Snowden, and I'm all happy, all of a sudden conspiracy theory shit starts to pollute my feed because apparently the U.S. Postal Service is monitoring my fucking emails and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, holy fuck you.
I mean, what
freaking
the fuck?
Tards, can you just leave it all
How
alone?
Dare you?
For Christ's sake, man. So interested in what people are viewing in their porn feed. That's what I'm thinking. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the conspiracy shit pops up, and apparently now a ranch next to Area 51 is going up for sale. And there's a bizarre part of the agreement that has to be honored in this whole thing. So apparently the 80-acre Medellin Ranch has a unique agreement in place that would allow the owner access to the restricted site of Area 51, all right? Now, Jody Morris has layered up on the St. Moritz. Whoa, what the fuck? That's terrible. LP just absolutely blew it right there. So apparently what winds up happening is, as part of the agreement, it's got an unusual agreement. You get access to this particular base, but he was told he could never enter the forbidden base, to tend to his roaming cattle. He had to call them first on radio so he could technically get into the land. So what winds up happening is it's like 6 miles, I guess, from home to his ranch. It became a tourist attraction for alien believers to come over and try to get some insight as to what's going on with Area fucking 51. Now, here's the thing that got me. As I was taking a look at this, I'm thinking, when you buy this, I bet there's like complimentary rectal probes for the purchasers and their guests by the resident Greys or maybe included. And I don't know, maybe hosting a few mandatory Illuminati and Bilderberg meetings might be in order at the ranch as part of the agreement. I mean, what do you think? It's just a feeling that I get. Now, the side story of inviting friends over and all that stuff is that you're going to go ahead and actually, I mean, you get to go ahead and run the Illuminati and all that sort of shit, or not run it, but, you know, like kind of be a part of it, kind of like what they've got going on over in the forest over in California out there. So what I was kind of thinking is, with the craze of all the fucking NFTs that are happening right now, maybe we here over in the Hive community, maybe we could crowdfund some kind of like group art project, like a collab finger paint of like aliens rectally probing the protesters that planned a raid on Area 51. And maybe we could sell it as part of like an alien rectal probe NFT collection. And we could use the proceeds to actually fucking buy this particular ranch. And then once we do that, we could actually turn around and host a Hive Fest over there every year instead of the Steam Fest that used to happen. And we could invite all the Greys over for the party because, I mean, what is cooler than going ahead and inviting a bunch of Greys with long fingers that they want to shove up people's asses to go ahead and party with all of us and we can sit here and talk cryptocurrency, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they want to come up as, like, special guests and people can have, like, a Q&A. You know, we could do, like, an Oprah Winfrey or something and take questions from the audience. Bro, what's with sticking fingers up everybody's asses? I'm just curious, right? Well, it turns out we're all proctologists, right? Dude, it would be fucking fantastic, right? And when you think about it, it's in Nevada, like illegal brothels. You can go over to like freaking to Las Vegas, lose all your fucking money, and then you could come back and you could sit there and try and earn some more by shitposting about the events and some of the Greys. You know what I'm saying? It could work out perfectly over there, and it could be like, I don't know, it could be a week, it could be 2 weeks. It would be awesome. That's at least what I'm thinking. But then again, I got a twisted sense of humor, so, you know, it is what it is. Twisted sense of humor? LP? Say never. It couldn't possibly be.
How about new?
So I'll tell you what, man. We need to get on that group project. We just can't go ahead and auto-asphyxiate and attempt to go ahead and do this finger painting with, like, semen samples and stuff like that. Because if we did, that'd be a little weird, all right? So let's just stick with, like, you know, the water-soluble finger paints. Create some really cool art. Buy this ranch and, you know, I don't know, just have our fun over at Hivefest, shitpost, lose our money gambling, do all the things that are important in life. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you know?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And holy shitballs, just like that, we've only got like 20 minutes left, so I got to hustle because we can't go ahead and get out of here without some mandatory Dick Cheese hour. I mean, Krim would be disappointed. So I'll tell you what, kids, we're going to go ahead and ease into some of that. We're not going to go right into it immediately, but we'll ease into that so it'll give you some time to get out your smoking jackets, grab your martini glasses, fill them up, and get ready for some of that fantastic Las Vegas swing that only Mr. Dick Cheese himself could go ahead and bring. He does sound kind of like he's drank about, I don't know, 3 gallons of Drano before he decided to start singing, right? But hey, man, punk rock is that way. I'm just saying, it's wonderful when it's that way. And look at that, man. Just when you thought you could ease into some Richard Cheese and you're like, hey, we got some time, it's over, just like that. So we got to go ahead and do our recap here real quick. So if you missed the show, first off, wait a second. If you like Joculation, catch Joculation here every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you want to go ahead and you know, have us give you some friendly reminders, what you can go ahead and do, what is it that dog literally put? I think Krim just puts him in the pictures. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? But at any rate, if you want to go ahead and subscribe to the show, you can hit greater than subscribe over in the room. You'll get subscribed to the show. We'll ping you mercilessly and make sure that you're here one way or another. We'll go ahead and just send somebody over to your house because the Postal Service is watching what we're doing anyways and sending federal agents over for inflammatory remarks. So don't worry, man. The feds will go over and visit your house because you're listening to a guy who's sitting here giving a show full of inflammatory remarks. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But let's do the recap real quick. First off, LP got a new chair at the studio, which is probably the greatest thing ever. I'm sitting here relaxed, getting a massage. No, I'm not getting a reach around. The chair does not provide that, but it provides everything else. We went and covered how hangovers get easier to deal with as you get older because it's our mutant superpower as human beings, right? And Denver's right now decriminalizing magic mushrooms even that much more so that you can join a knitting circle, get some magic mushrooms, knit a wonderful neon dildo cozy of the fucking flying spaghetti monster, trip balls with all the grandmothers. It'll be fantastic. We also talked about how prehistoric cavemen used to go ahead and, like, starve themselves of oxygen to induce hallucinations so that they could make better paintings all the way in the back part of the cave where nobody's looking. And if you're looking to go ahead and get a quick legal high, you can do the nutmeg challenge, which is going viral again on TikTok, and you can shit out an eggnog air freshener when you're finished with it. And then on top of that, what else did we cover? We covered a mind-blowing conspiracy theory that we're all allegedly dead, reliving for this entire time the last 7 minutes of our life. Because our armchair fucking Aristotle over here thinks he's a fucking genius that came up with something new, and 2 million people seem to think so because, well, generally speaking, they're just a bunch of fucktards. You know what I'm saying? But that's okay. We don't judge much. So, also, then we went into the Earth Day friendly consumer service fails. We talked about the two popular takeout chains over in China that were caught on tape reserving leftovers to other clients, right? Because if you don't want that Chow Yun Fat, we'll just go ahead and give it to somebody else what's left. And then we got the cross-contamination thing where a dude found shrimp tails inside of his box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch because, oh my God,
how dare you?
How wonderful could that be? Nothing less says breakfast to me like sugar-coated shrimp tails. We also talked about the plastic surgeon who's now suspended after dancing with bags of fat and skin on TikTok because that's what I want to do. I want to go get lipoed, and I want somebody to sit there and show the world, hey, look at all the fat I sucked out of this dude's ass. Watch it wiggle and jiggle while I jump around over here in a fucking TikTok video. Hold on a second. Gabriel's trying to tell me something here. He said, did I cover TikTok video breaking news? Dude, I covered lots of it, right? We covered lots of TikTok stuff here. So then after that, we went into the user fails over here. So we talked about people using Tannerite in ways they probably shouldn't, doing a gender reveal for their fucking baby, but they used about 80 pounds of Tannerite and effectively cracked the foundation of a few houses around them in, like, the outlying towns that were around them. And people's pictures getting knocked off the wall, police showing up, all that shit. Then we had people that were sitting there using Tan in a Can the wrong way. So one of them started to look like Fiona from Shrek. The other one, well, she left behind a crime scene that looked like she, you know, had a problem with some laxatives. Then there was a topless woman who crashed the Prince Philip funeral thing over here outside of Windsor Castle. And what else did we cover? We also covered the Edward Snowden NFT. And we talked about buying the ranch next to Area 51. And I got to wrap it up there because I got, like, I don't know, 30 seconds left. So, kids, you know what they say. William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and shred across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself why watch the show when you can be the show. To everybody who came out, thanks very much. To those of you that came and left, well, thanks for coming by. I hope we'll catch you in a recording sometime soon. This is LP Faust checking out. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.